Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
2141, OPS is fan stuff, a lot of laughter. What the actual hell are the Astros doing letting this man run the team day to day? That's not a very funny joke, 9392. I said that Brad Pitt would play me in a movie. Somebody texting in said, more like Brad Armpit for JB. What a lousy joke that is, 9392. Come with something a little better than that, than some lousy pun.
I think it's pretty good.
9392 is pretty good. It is pretty good. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Foe's lighting up about Dusty Baker. Paul, you're in the hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Paul?
Yeah, so much to say about this. I will say one thing. Toronto fired their manager about a month ago, and it doesn't seem to be hurting them any. They've gone on a little bit of a winning streak. But I'm putting a lot of this on James Click. I mean, he's Dusty's boss. So if Dusty's doing something James Click doesn't like, James Click's got the ability to influence what Dusty does. And if I were Click,
we lost you, Paul, but we understand the point.
Paul, I hear what you're saying.
Click is Dusty's boss.
But I don't think he's Dusty's boss.
I don't either.
I mean, I think we've talked about this in the past. Click would like to have a manager that truly he hired that he would be the boss of. But because Dusty was hired by the owner, Dusty was beloved by and still beloved and befriended by the owner first, then hired the general manager in Click. And Click knew coming in, I'm sure, and discussions were had, Dusty's my guy at manager, just so you know.
Yeah.
So as much as I hear what you were saying, Paul, and I think that it's supposed to be the way it is, it's set up structurally, because of the quirky way that Dusty was hired before Click and because of Dusty's relationship with Crane, I don't think that's the case.
I don't either. Usually a general manager is above the manager when it comes to the hierarchy of a front office in Major League Baseball. But Crane has backed up Dusty Baker. He hired him first. He re-signed him this past season as well. I don't think that James Click really views Dusty Baker as his subordinate, as one of his employees. I just don't see it. And we know that Dusty Baker, the line of card is his. And I think Dusty Baker gets annoyed with James Click when he makes these trades. I think he's a little disturbed whenever he brings in Christian Vasquez and it's deemed an upgrade when he loves Martin Maldonado. I think he's slightly annoyed that he has to manage now Trey Mancini when he's an offensive upgrade over Yuli Gurriel, who is a fan favorite of Dusty Baker. Look, this is Moneyball. It really is. It's Philip Seymour Hoffman and Billy Beane not seeing eye to eye, not agreeing on anything. But the difference between what was going on in Oakland and what's going on right now at the Astros is James Click really doesn't have the authority over Dusty Baker.
He doesn't. And you know that when he goes back to his office after games at the end of the night and he's just alone with his thoughts, you know that he is racking his brain over the fact that this is not how he would put a lineup out every day. And this is not how this team, as constructed, is supposed to be managed, especially after the moves that he just went out and made to make this team better. He's not Dusty's boss, and that is the biggest problem. He knows and sees what we know and see, and probably more so and more analytically.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing he can do about it right now.
OPS is for the fans. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Philip Seymour Hoffman, you're in the hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Philip?
Hey guys. Important discussion here because I felt like I'm the only one who who is not on the Dusty train here. You know, this guy is his horrible lineups are impacting the team, and I think it's directly caused by the lack of offensive production we've been seeing. And you know, he does not belong. He should be fired. I mean, that is a joke, in my opinion. I mean, okay, he's a nice guy. The sign stealing scandal, whatever. But in terms of actually winning ball games, he's not a 2022 manager. And that's all I got. Thanks.
Appreciate it, Phil.
OPS is for the fans.
Look, I mean, that's going to be your new mound visit. I mean, you look at all the, like again, I'm not killing Dusty as a person. I think Dusty's a hell of a guy. I think he's had a hell of a career. I just think that, you know, God forbid that this costs you in the playoffs. Because to this point, I don't think that you can say that it's cost you and left an indelible mark. But if it does, it could be a travesty for a team that deserves so much, so much better. And like I said, their roster's just too damn good to basically have meant hardly anything slow them down. But you don't want to do it when it's a do-or-die situation in the middle of a playoff run and it costs you moving on or going home.
I got to ask you guys something. That caller kind of suggested it. I've seen it on Twitch. I think it's insane to fire Dusty Baker if they win the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a couple people who are in on the idea of moving on from him now.
I was going to say.
It does sound that way.
Phillips sounded that way, and the last call, one of the last callers did too. There's one thing I want to be very clear of. He's going to play this one out.
Right.
He's playing it out for the rest of this season. I am not in favor of firing him.
I'm
right
not
now.
Either. I think that's crazy.
I wouldn't hate it. I wouldn't hate the idea.
If
Dusty Baker got fired tomorrow or after tonight's game because like he refuses to play certain players that James Click wants him to play, I wouldn't hate it.
The drama would be
funny. I wouldn't hate it.
I don't support it.
The good thing is you got Joe Espada.
I'm not calling for Dusty Baker's firing. Let's be very, very clear. I don't think that the Astros will do it. I wouldn't fire Dusty Baker either if I'm running things over there with the Houston Astros. But if James Click did it, talk about bravado. Talk about courage.
If he could do it, because he can't.
I don't think so either. But like that's why I wouldn't hate it if I saw the news come across the ticker tomorrow morning.
Yeah, and the comparison to the Blue Jays,
and the Espada thing real quick.
Yeah.
What gives you a better chance to win the rest of the season in the playoffs? Dusty Baker, Joe Espada at the helm?
Joe Espada.
There you go. There you go. I wouldn't hate it.
And I think also to the point about who's the boss, if
Tony Danza,
if Click was the boss, he wouldn't be selling Dusty out to dry with Joe Espada saying who picked out the lineup.
That was something, man.
Yeah.
That was something.
I don't think people realized how impactful that was, that those two guys both made it extremely clear and went out of their way to say this is not us picking out the lineup. This is him.
I will not co-sign this.
They know it, too. They know it, too. And the difference between the callers I was talking about that the Blue Jays manager was fired midseason and what's going on with the Astros is the Blue Jays, in a lot of people's minds, were underachieving with as good of a young roster as they have and the money they spent in free agency to get pitching and other things. So I think it's that's where you can't make the comparison. The Astros are just so darn good that I don't think it behooves you to make a move in the regular season. Yeah. Unless he really, truly has a philosophical difference that can't be fixed between Click.
713-780-3776. Yeah, I would be stunned if it happens, but I wouldn't hate it. Let's go back out to the HRP listener line. Dwayne, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Dwayne?
Hey, guys. Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Okay, yeah. Well, besides Cashman, I mean, the GMs out there that are probably pulling their hairs out for being on a winning team, I mean, Click's got to be one of the major ones. But my first two things, I'm going to make it quick. If another general manager or another manager is out there, like say maybe Espada had like autonomy, right, and he's really full of it, his own team, and he had the right guys out there, we wouldn't have gone to extra innings last night, right?
Well, I don't want to go game by game here, Dwayne. Like, I'm not putting anything on that game yesterday. Like, you can't look at one game over the course of 162 and make these snap reactions based on one game. Baseball is a body of work sport.
Yeah, look, you can nitpick who was in the lineup last night at the start of the game, but I'm not going to say that Dusty was the reason why they lost the game.
No. By the way, did you see the Chris Woodward yesterday, the intentional balk? In the 10th inning, intentionally did that.
I turned it off.
I hate extra in baseball. I don't blame
you. After your guy completely ruined my evening and emphasized even more what the other guy started, I turned it off and went to bed.
So anyways, there were an extra innings. The Rangers had the big, so you saw a little bit at the top.
I saw the Rangers get all the runs.
Yeah, Phil Maton was abysmal.
Oh, and so was your boy.
It was fine. You put him in a bases loaded situation. What do you expect? He didn't give up an earned run.
After making a great pitch.
He didn't give up an earned run.
Okay.
Didn't give up an earned run. Phil Maton was the issue in the 10th, not Brian Abreu.
Well, look, both can stomach some of the blame.
Which one is more to blame?
Obviously me.
Anyways, I hate extra inning baseball. But Chris Woodward, they intentionally balked with Bregman at second base, and then they went after the game. Chris Woodward was like talking about how the Astros, and Bregman specifically, was picking up on the location of pitches during the Martin Perez start the game before. So you have the manager of the Rangers accusing the Astros of basically sign-stealing, picking up the location, relaying it. He said it's not cheating, but he did make sure that he publicly said this. Also, remember the Rangers got hit twice 2 days ago with Jose Urquidy on the mound. The very first pitch to Jose Altuve yesterday, high and tight. Kyle Tucker tried to bunt his way on yesterday with the four outfielders for the Rangers, and then they were yelling at him from the Rangers dugout, calling him a wuss and things that rhyme with wuss.
Then when he hit the home run, he had the glare into their dugout.
25% chance today. You got some
Maldi
activity.
Got hit. Was it last night?
Yeah, but I don't, that's not on purpose.
But
you know,
that's why the same thing I was going to say.
But the one to Altuve?
But with the Urquidy ones, too, how many guys can get hit on the elbow pad?
Yeah, I think too.
Like, I don't think it was, like, small of the back getting drilled or you know, buzzing the tower stuff. Mm-hmm. But if they took that literally, like, that he was gunning for them, then that's on them.
Bad blood. Two Rangers got hit on Tuesday. Altuve gets some chin music the very first pitch. The very first pitch of the game yesterday. Kyle Tucker staring at their dugout after they were chirping from their dugout, yelling at Tucker after he tried to bunt his way on. And then you got the manager of the Rangers chirping about Bregman picking up on the location. How about you get a catcher that can receive a little bit, huh? How about that? I think there's chance that there could be some activities, maybe some brouhahas going down at Minute Maid Park today. At 305, wink, wink, wink. 713-780-ESPN. When we return, how can you not love Cool Cat Cal? How can you not love Cool Cat Cal McNair? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN
92.5. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
You're going to be able to find the Astros game on YouTube TV 305.
Yeah, let me ask you a question.
You mean you already got it? Dusty wouldn't be able to find it. He couldn't find Peacock Plus.
You a spiritual guy?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say.
Yeah? So in what way are you a spiritual guy? Like, do you talk to the spirits and, like, the afterworld kind of?
I don't know where
people?
You're going with this.
Well, you're
going
to find out in a minute. I think that, you know, I don't know what you do in your free time, but I just want to let you know that Philip Seymour Hoffman passed away in 2014. So when you were talking to him on the phone or, you know, reaching out to him.
What are you going with this? I knew Philip Seymour Hoffman passed away.
You're like, Philip Seymour Hoffman's on the line, and then you made a couple references. I just wasn't sure you realized that Phil was no longer with us.
It's just because his name was Philip.
We got a call from the grave. That's what he's saying, Jeremy.
Basically, you got a call from the afterworld.
Okay.
You and Prince, you've got that connection.
I knew Philip Seymour Hoffman was
dead. I'm not criticizing either way. I didn't know you knew.
I oftentimes say that I'm a one-trick pony. It's sports and that's it, and I think I proved that time and time again. So, like, this isn't a flex knowing that Philip Seymour Hoffman had passed away. But, yeah, I was well aware of that.
All right. Just checking.
Very good actor. Very good actor, by the way.
Did you like that? What was the movie with the winery and all that?
Is that Sideways?
Sideways. And it won a bunch of awards. And I watched it. I just wasn't into it.
Not really.
Yeah, I wasn't
not
a big
really.
Fan.
I used to be a big movie buff, actually.
Never mind.
I used to watch, like, every movie that was up for, like, best film for the Oscars.
Ooh, but then they got real, like... artsy, and
stopped,
I'm like, yeah, I'm out.
Yeah, same. I stopped doing that anyways. Did Brendan have something to say?
No, Brendan's just not a big movie guy.
Anyways, I want to hang out with Cool Cat Cal, and nothing put that on display more than yesterday. He was over there, what would you call it, grilling out with some burgers, grilling out with some hot dogs. He was, you know, you're either a hot dog guy or you're a hamburger guy. I want to be a Cal McNair friend guy. Here's Cool Cat Cal. I think it was Randy McIlvoy who caught up with Cool Cat Cal. I'm so jealous of Randy. Never been more jealous of Randy than I was yesterday when he was hanging out with Cool Cat Cal. Here was Cool Cat Cal talking about the little barbecue, the little cookout that they had going.
What's the secret to a good hamburger?
It's a great meat and a great fire.
Yeah.
Serving them hot.
That's Cal, is this something new that you guys are doing after practice for some of these fans that are out here? Is this...
Yeah, we're having a little food for the fans that are hungry. Come by and get a hot dog or hamburger. And thanks for coming out to practice. And glad they're here and want to share some food with them.
Yeah, I love that guy. Look how happy he is. Look
how giving
he is.
You think he only says that behind the grill?
That what? Which part?
It's a great meat and it's a great fire. Let's go, baby.
You probably have to ask Hannah that.
Well,
how do you not want to hang out with Cool Cat Cal after living that? Listen to that. He's charitable. He's giving. He's grilling some food for you. Like, what is there not to like about Cool Cat Cal? I mean that genuinely, sincerely.
He sounds like he should be reading children's stories if he could read all the big words.
Even better, his voice is soothing.
I'm not pro Cool Cat Cal.
Why not?
But I do think, like, I appreciate an owner who's at least trying to improve his
image. I
gave
him credit for trying. But if that's the voice of the teacher's aide for my daughter's second grade class... I'm okay with it, though I'm going to keep an eye on him. But if that's the voice of the owner of the National Football League team in the city and that I'm rooting for, I got issues with that.
You wouldn't want to go golf with Cool Cat Cal?
I'm talking about a guy owning this football team. Whether he goes golfing or not, is a dick. Plus, I don't want to ride in the cart with him. I'd have to listen to that for 18 holes.
Friendship is more than ownership. Friendship
we're not friends. I'm not sure.
You and Cal or you and me?
No, me and Cal. I mean, you and I are on probation. But here's the thing. I don't want to drive 18 holes in a cart listening to Cal. Do you think?
Yeah.
I mean, we're sitting there.
I'm probably buying some lemonade.
You and I are both somewhat serious about our golf, but I don't want to go from shot to shot going, do you think that alligator really liked the sunshine that he gets for most of the day? Or is that, could he get sunburned too?
Cook you a burger, cook you a dog. You probably have an Arnold Palmer. He strikes me as an Arnold Palmer
guy.
Oh,
I completely agree.
Strikes me
that.
As an Arnold Palmer guy.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, I want to hang out with Cool Cat Cal. Anyways, we were, I was listening to The Bench yesterday morning. Mm-hmm. They were talking about which head coaches in the NFL would win fights. And what inspired the conversation with Hard Knocks, Dan Campbell, Dan Campbell looks like he can go 15 rounds. Like, put Dan Campbell, you know what I want to see? I want to see Dan Campbell against a Paul brother. Put that on pay-per-view.
I think
Dan Campbell's taking a Paul brother. I really do.
Really?
Absolutely. The Paul brothers
are going to bite his kneecaps off.
Exactly.
Well, he'll bite one of their kneecaps
off. It might depend on the art, right? It might depend on the practice. Like, if it's MMA, give me Campbell.
If it's all bets are off, you can do whatever the hell you want.
Bar.
Yeah, I would.
Queensbury rules.
I could put some stock in Dan Campbell.
You guys are crazy.
You don't think Dan Campbell would beat up Jake Paul in a fight?
What is he, 20 years older?
Jake Paul is an Instagram influencer that pretends to be a fighter and fights a bunch of scrubs like Nate Robinson and people who will take dives.
He's proven he can punch a little.
He's proven that against people that are willing to take a dive for $1 million.
Okay. It looks like he could box a little bit. I'm just saying.
I'm calling out Logan Paul or Jake Paul, whatever one it is, right now. I will go toe-to-toe with them right now. Now, I also need part of the purse.
Wait, you're fighting them?
I will, yeah. I'm calling them out right now. I'm calling them out right now.
Boy,
now,
you are bodacious.
Look, I'm not signing for free. Oh. Now, I'm going to need a little bit of the purse, like I said. I'm going to need some of those pay-per-view buys, which I don't know how well we'd sell. He just canceled that fight at Madison Square Garden.
You would do semi-okay in Houston.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know if anyone would buy anywhere else.
A very, very low-tier personality. Anyways, who would win a fight of all the coaches in the NFL?
Dan Campbell would be up there. I would say that Mike Vrabel, sneaky, could be...
Not even sneaky, man.
Top of the list.
Mike Vrabel is probably pretty high on my list when it comes to that. I think there's a lot of coaches that you can immediately get rid of. Like Bill Belichick, he's too old.
Right.
Maybe like a senior
Andy
division.
Reed, no chance.
Yeah, Andy Reid, like just stick and move, right? Sean McDermott. Sean McDermott could be sneaky good. Like he's a little bit smaller, but the dude's ripped. He's tough. He's kind of has that quiet demeanor. What do you mean, on Sean McDermott?
I was not Sean McDermott. I think Sean McVay.
No. I'm talking about McDermott in Buffalo.
Really?
Oh my goodness.
He's ripped.
Yeah, he's ripped.
Okay.
He's cut up. Dude's very, very ripped. How about McDaniel from Miami?
No. He looks like a mad scientist. He ain't hurting anybody.
There's not a coach more in the NFL that I would like to have some gentleman vodka, gin, or bourbon with than McDaniel, but he ain't winning no fights.
No. I think Vrabel's up there.
Saleh.
I think Robert Saleh is definitely up there.
How about all those like pretty boy coaches?
No. I mean, look.
Like Taylor for Cincy.
People would be
Shanahan.
Rooting for your boy in Arizona, Cliff Kingsbury, to get his ass
Kingsbury
kicked.
Be the pretty boy division. Now, Oscar De La Hoya was a pretty boy and could fight.
Yeah.
So maybe Kingsbury, McVay.
Cliff ain't that strong.
Shanahan. What's LaFleur?
LaFleur's?
What do you think of LaFleur?
He's in shape and all that, but I don't think he's going to beat Vrabel.
Tomlin?
I thought about Tomlin, though. He's getting a little older.
That's what I think. Same with Harbaugh, I think.
Harbaugh is a scrappy guy, too, but yeah, they're getting a little older.
Now, no chance for our boy here, right? No chance Lovey's winning any fights.
Nah.
Lovey's now, if we have a senior division, I like my chances with Lovey.
Lovey
can go get it.
He could blind him with the beard and then just throw haymakers.
If I look like Lovey whenever I'm his age, heck, if I look like Lovey next week, I would be completely happy with my physique.
Todd Bowles has a chance to do some damage.
Yeah, I forgot almost for a second that he was a head coach.
Yeah, Todd Bowles could do some damage.
A little older, though, right?
Yeah, but he's in good shape.
Doug Peterson?
Nope.
See, I'm not picking any quarterback. Maybe that's me being biased against quarterbacks, but I don't look at quarterbacks as like the toughest dudes in the world.
Okay. And rightfully so. I don't think most quarterbacks are fighters.
You can get rid of McDaniels.
Yeah, Campbell's got a fighting chance to be in the top two against Vrabel.
What's that nerd in L.A.? What's his name again? The Chargers nerd that always does unconventional things. The name's escaping me.
Yeah.
But he's not winning any fights. Mm-mm. Hackett?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Who's in Atlanta now? Is it still Smith?
Yeah.
Nope.
No, it's the guy from Tennessee, the offensive coordinator, Arthur Smith.
Arthur Smith.
The what about the dude that left your guys back in the day, old Mike McCarthy?
What, are you kidding me?
You don't think he's won fights?
No, maybe a fight over the last biscuit.
What's the most comical fight?
No freaking way he's winning a fight.
What's the most comical fight?
The most comical fight?
Andy Reid and Mike McCarthy.
I wouldn't pay to see that. That'd be like two heavyweights lumbering that never throw punches. They'd be out of gas in the first 30 seconds. You need like a good what would be the most – what was the question again?
What would be the best –
To me, you need like a dude who's going to throw down and a dude that's like going to get crushed.
Mike McDaniel's going to run. Yeah.
So maybe Mike McDaniel against, let's say, Vrabel. I think that would be pretty entertaining. Now, you want like paper – like you want the best buy rate, like people that are going to pay to watch it. Campbell Vrabel's probably on the short.
That's a good
solid, though, man. And yeah, plus, he's got the big market in New York.
Yeah.
You really want to get
and you can
leaves.
Tell his leaves. Intensity level basically never leaves,
Matt
no matter
Rule.
What. No.
Why are you shooting down Matt Rule like that?
I mean, hey, look at him, and then, no.
Pete Carroll.
No.
Yeah, I feel bad if Pete Carroll's in a fight.
Pete Carroll should win a gum-chewing contest.
Well, good thing David Culley's not in the league anymore.
That's a good point. Well, he doesn't use gum, he uses his tongue.
That's true. 713-780-ESPN. You have to pick one coach, Battle Royale, NFL head coach that would win... In fighting, who is that guy? 713-780-3776. Maybe we'll ask Mike Golic about that. The old Mike Golic, formerly of Mike and Mike. You can see him all across. I think he's still doing the college football thing, too, the game of the week for Learfield. Mike Golic talking about the things going on around the NFL with, you know, preseason football right around the corner. There's two games tonight, by the way. Mike Golic joins us next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Mike Golic joining us on the HR&P guest line, formerly of Mike and Mike, sports analyst for DraftKings. Mike, I got to ask you, Blankers just said our friendship was on probation previous segment. I don't know how well you and Greeny got along all the time, but can you give me some advice on how to deal with a coworker that doesn't always view me as a friend?
Well, you just have to treat him worse. I mean, that's just the way it goes.
Hey,
I mean,
Mike,
Greeny and I were together, almost 18 years? Yeah, you know, you have your ups and downs, and but you deal through it. You know, it's like my wife and I, we'd never go to bed angry. Well, Greeny and I would never leave a show angry. You know, if he had any issues, you kind of worked them out. When I worked with Trey Wingo and my son, Mike, that was different because now it's my son. You know, so I can do whatever I want to him. It doesn't matter. You know, no rules apply. But yeah, if someone's treating you bad, if one guy's treating bad, the other guy, you know, got to treat him bad back. That's just the way it works.
All right.
I'm not treating him bad. I'm just being honest.
Oh, it's that one.
Yeah.
I'm just being honest.
Yeah.
Is that like you're entitled to your opinion, but your opinion is wrong type thing?
I like that one. I may use that one in the future, but no, that you never know. Mike, I'm curious, just your thoughts as we stand here today, still not with full resolution on Deshaun Watson, and the fact that the commissioner made this agreement with the Players Association to be more transparent, bring in the third party. The third party comes in. They don't like the ruling. Now they've come down and basically thrown that out and said, we see it a different way. We're going to lay this down.
Well, I mean, you have to understand, this is all CBA bargain. So they have every right, just like if the penalty here coming out of the gate, the NFLPA would have the right to appeal that. So it does seem odd because, you know, for all the 20-some-odd years I was doing a show, everybody complained that the commissioner had too much power. So now there's a system where it goes to a third party agreed upon by both sides, but you can appeal and it can go back to the commissioner, even though he can appoint a designee like he did this time. But this is all bargain. You know, this is all something. This is something I went through as being a player for 9 years and part of a union, and some things we can agree upon as players to fight in the CBA and some things we don't. So, you know, it's tough for anybody to complain about it when this was agreed to by the players. And again, maybe not a lot of the players liked it, but it can be a tough union at times, something that certainly could maybe use a little work because there are players who play only a couple years and there are players who are, you know, millionaires 10 times over, and sometimes they have different thought processes. But again, I'm getting away from your point. And the point is, this was absolutely allowed by the league to do. And I have no doubt that that penalty is going to increase to possibly a year.
Yeah, Texans fans would love that, knowing that they have the Browns' first-round draft pick next year. You bring up the point that we've talked about the whole time when it comes to the judge, Sue Robinson, being the independent arbiter, the third party, but then also the appeal power. Like, the NFL Players Association couldn't have been so naive to actually believe that Roger Goodell would have the best interest of the NFLPA when it came to the appeal process. Like, how did the NFLPA ever agree to the fact that Goodell could still appeal the whole thing and still have power over the whole thing?
Okay, so let me take inside a little bit here. What is the NFLPA's main objective?
Money.
It's for the majority of the players. So how many players do we have this go on with? An incredible minority of player, right?
Mm-hmm.
Handfuls, couple of handfuls, where we talk about these suspensions of over 1,800 players. So just as I said, you choose as players what you want to fight for. So years ago, in the last CBA, the players wanted to fight for, OTAs being a little different. Two-a-days in, no more two-a-day back-to-back practices in pads in training camp. During the season, pads only 14 times during the entire season. They were looking at it as a whole to kind of preserve their bodies to be able to play longer. That's for the majority of players. This, what we're talking about, is for the minority of players. So if you're at a bargaining table, And you're given the choice of, do I want to, because listen, if you don't want the commissioner to have any power at all and you want this thing to change, you got to give something up. They're not just going to say, okay, we'll give it up. We won't do this anymore. No. This is bargaining. So you would have to give something up. So if you're sitting there on the union side, are you saying, okay, for a couple of handfuls of players that get suspended, are we going to give up something that may be good for the whole just to try and get that? You got to understand, the union is for the majority, not the minority of players. And in this case, with Deshaun Watson and guys that have been suspended a year, that's a very, very, very low percentage of the 1,800 or so players in the NFL. So you got to be careful of what you want to bargain and give up something for to get something back.
Mike, I'm curious your thoughts just on the field with the Browns. I said a year ago I thought that they had the most complete roster in football, minus the quarterback position, with everything kind of on Baker Mayfield's shoulders. If Deshaun doesn't play for an extended period of time, or maybe, as you say, the full season, is that a playoff team? Is that a team that, because of the rest of the roster being so talented, can find a way to win? Do they need to go out and look at Jimmy G? Do they have the right quarterback on the roster already, and can they be a playoff team?
So they do have a great roster. You're 100% correct on that. They're in a tough division, obviously, with Cincinnati coming up, Super Bowl, Baltimore always being a tough team, though they struggle some in the playoffs. But they have a great quarterback, an excellent team as well. Jacoby Brissett, I like. Look up Jacoby Brissett. Anytime he started double-digit games, he has not thrown double-digit interceptions. So he doesn't turn the ball over. And let's remember the team you just talked about with a great roster, great running game, great offensive line, athletic tight end. You pick up Amari Cooper, a great route runner, I think is an excellent receiver. I think Jacoby Brissett could be a really good quarterback in this system, really good defense as well. Now, to go that extra mile, you'd love a playmaker like Deshaun Watson to be playing. And I thought the suspension should be about a year too. And when it was sitting at six games, I thought, oh my God, they're just from a football, take away the Deshaun Watson situation. But a football situation, they only had one division game and all that, and that was Pittsburgh, the worst of the NFC North. They had the Jets in there, Atlanta in there, Carolina in there. They could have gone 4-2, 3-3 in those first six games. I think they could definitely be a problem for everybody else. If Deshaun is gone for the year, I still think they can be a winning team. But as far as how far you can go, at that point, to go really far, I think you really need a quarterback that can make some dazzling plays. And I think Jacoby Brissett is a good quarterback, but I don't know if I'd put him in that category.
Sports radio titan Mike Golic joining us on the HRNP guest line. Mike, curious your viewpoint of the Texans, a team that they've won four games back-to-back years, still very early in the rebuild, even though the general manager, Nick Caserio, hates that word, rebuild. What do you think of the rebuild, and are the Texans on the right track?
Well, he can hate the word rebuild all he wants, but that's what it is. You know, the first thing is you're going to have to find out, you know, about your quarterback. Is Davis Mills the guy? I called the game for Westwood One when he started against Carolina, and he struggled early on. But it was interesting when they went to, like, the last 2 minutes of the first half or a quick situation, he started to do fine because he probably wasn't thinking as much. He was just reacting. So I kind of like where he went. Obviously, a ton was not going to be expected of him when he was going to be the quarterback, and you knew he was when Deshaun wasn't going to play. You know, again, 16 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. So the first thing you need to do is he going to be the guy, or they're going to have another bad season? I think, unfortunately, they are. There is, unlike last year or this past year's draft, there is three or four quarterbacks that are going to be first-round quarterbacks. Now, again, we'll see where they go. So does Houston set themselves up for one of those guys? And then, quite honestly, you're kind of starting over again. If that's the case, if you have a bad record again and you end up picking one of those guys in the first round, this is what I do. I put the guy right in there as a starter right away, and you just start. You just start letting him learn and letting him get the bumps and bruises and letting him work through that, because the quicker he can work through that, the quicker you can kind of get to where you want to be, though it's going to be a process. And maybe Davis Mills says, hey, we're not going to need one because I'm going to play really well. Still, there's a lot of holes to fill in a rebuilding process. Like I said, it's not just, oh, we got this guy. Wow, we're good. All of a sudden, we can do this. I think they, like the Jets, you know, have a lot of different holes they need to plug. The Jets think they may have their quarterback, you know, of the future. So that's kind of where Houston needs to first find out. Is Davis Mills going to be the guy? And if he's not going to be the guy this upcoming draft, you could probably get one of those guys.
Mike, we've been big on the embrace the suck mantra, and it's not because we want them to or we hate on the Texans. We think that is the best route to long-term sustained success as a franchise, because if they have another draft like they had last year, if they get to a scenario like you painted where they can get a franchise-type quarterback, they can actually keep this thing going in the right direction at a pretty good rate of speed. But if they win too soon, too quickly, it could actually set them back. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, listen, I come from everything as a former player. So while I understand what you're saying, players just don't have that thought process. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, players want to play well for themselves, to help themselves out, and certainly for the team. Now, you certainly don't want to get into a situation like Stephen Ross and the Miami Dolphins, where the owner is, you know, sitting there saying, hey, it's better if we lose, you know, and the whole, you know, did he offer Brian Flores $100,000 to lose games for a better draft pick or not? So you don't want to go down that road. But listen, when I did the show for years, I hear that all the time from fans, especially Jet fans. God, I hope we lose the rest of our games. I get the thought process, but understand in that building, players are playing to win. Players aren't playing. There's not a player in that locker room saying, man, I'm playing for 3 years down the road. 3 years down the road, you may not be there. Players are playing for this year. They want to win, and they want to play well. So that process does not enter their minds. But fans, certainly they're allowed to think that way and you know, want their team to lose to secure a better draft position. But that doesn't always do it either. Remember, you got to go draft the right guy. You get in that position to draft the wrong guy, especially at the quarterback position, and you're screwed.
Legend of the business, Mike Golic. Mike, are you still going to call some games this year for Westwood?
Yeah, I'm going to call probably a full slate for Westwood One. I got to call my first Super Bowl or work for my first Super Bowl.
Awesome.
Last year. That was a lot of fun. So, I chose not to do college this year. I'm going to hang out here at Notre Dame and watch them and be free on the Saturdays to watch college football and just enjoy it. And then I'll go pro games. I'll probably do the Sunday night games this year, Sunday or Monday night games, and just kind of stay in it. I can't be all the way out just yet.
Looking forward to hearing you. I met you before the Houston Tech game last year, early in the college football season. Appreciated the conversation then. Appreciated the conversation now. Great stuff as always. Hope to catch up very soon. Enjoy the NFL season if we don't.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks.
It's Mike Golic, formerly of Mike and Mike, now with DraftKings, and calling some NFL on Westwood One. What he had to say, it sounds like Golic's not on the embrace the suck train. And Davis Mills, he mentioned that struggling early. I have a theory on why Davis Mills potentially struggled early in the season and early in games. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. Look, Dr. O and his staff celebrating 5 years in business. only because of good people like you, because they're getting results. They keep going back, and they love dealing with their patients and seeing them happy again. And that's what they do at Apollo Men's Health. They get you results, and they get you feeling great again. Your health is your wealth. You have to invest in yourself just like you invest in the stock market. And from the boardroom to the weight room to the bedroom, if you're having problems, they can get you feeling good and getting results again. That's what their job is on a daily basis. For men and women, it starts with hormone therapy and all the different ways that they can administer it and get you feeling great and having a lot of pep in your step. You can start even simpler with a B12 shot every week like I get, and you can feel the effects of that and think that you have a little bit more energy. If you want to recover quicker, there's HGH peptide therapy. If you want to get on a workout plan, start with a full body composition analysis that literally only takes 60 seconds, but it can give you your body fat. It can give you your muscle percentage. It can give you so many different things that are important to you when you are trying to get to feeling good and taking care of yourself. But the first thing you need to do is just set up that first appointment. Go to ApolloMH.com and book it. When you do, you're going to find out most major insurance is accepted, and there's discounts for military personnel and first responders. Then be honest with them. Tell them what you're trying to achieve. They'll put you on a plan that works. They're going to get your results. Mention my name, Joel Blank. Get a free B12 shot or a free body composition analysis on your first official visit. And then let the process go from there. They're good people doing great things on a daily basis. Check out the people at Apollo Men's Health.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Not Brad Kellner on our text line said I need a haircut. Said I'm not a baseball pitcher and I need a haircut.
Be you, do you. Whatever you want.
My wife calls it the mullet.
I mean,
what do you
think?
Do you think I need a haircut?
I think that you've got a really tough decision to make, because you're not going to be able to run out and just get a haircut and have all the time in the world to yourself here coming up. So yeah, you're either going full Grizzly Adams and, you know, party in the back mode, or you just need to get it cut now.
I think I'm gonna keep it going. I'm gonna grow the Lena Hidalgo. That's what I'm gonna call it. Mike Golic said that in the building that the players are trying to win every game that they play. We've never suggested otherwise.
Right.
We've never suggested that you should Chris Brown hook a field goal. That way you improve your draft pick like Chris Brown once did. Thank you, Chris Brown. Of course, the players are going to try hard. Of course, the players are going to be inspired. Of course, Lovie Smith wants to win more games than he wants to lose. But it sounded like Mike Golic, a little bit anti-embrace the suck.
It's fine. As an ex-player and the way he positioned himself in responding to it, I don't expect anything differently of him if speaking as an ex-player. And no player in that locker room should want to lose. And I believe that they are constructing players that are going to win and want to win for the long term. But they're not there yet. I'm speaking as someone that, from the perspective of what we do and watching this team on a daily basis and wanting this team to have long-standing, long-term success, that the recipe is there and that the blueprint is laid out, that if you do this for one more season, it can be very, very, very beneficial to you. So I didn't expect Mike Golic to go completely off the rails against it, but I also didn't expect him to be completely for it. It's just, I think as we talk to other national types, you're going to hear the other side of the equation by going, yeah, look, man, I mean, from the harder schedule the following year to the lesser draft picks, there's just a laundry list of reasons why it's not in your best interest to catch lightning in a bottle and win 7 or 8 games this year.
Yeah. To me, it's just the way that the roster's constructed more than anything else. It's not about, the fact that the players aren't going to try hard. The players are going to try to lose. They're gonna give their best effort. Lovey's going to give his best effort. And I think that the Texans could – I think they could overachieve to the tone of 5 to 6 wins, but that's about the ceiling for the Texans. So it's not really the Texans should lose every game type of thing. I thought it was interesting what he had to say about Davis Mills, though. He said he was on that Carolina game, said struggled early, kind of figured it out with 2-minute offense. You could make the same stance. Like, that was kind of a microcosm of his season, right, where his first batch of starts was not very good. His second batch of starts were much, much better. I'm really curious to see what Davis Mills looks like in the Pep Hamilton offense. And I know that it's like, okay, you have some holdover there. Pep Hamilton was the quarterback coach last season, so there's some continuity between the two. But this is a totally different offense between Pep Hamilton and Tim Kelly. Tim Kelly had a very New England approach where everything was kind of difficult for the quarterback, whereas Pep Hamilton tries to dumb everything down for his quarterback, make things easy. So it's like a totally different offense, but it should help Davis Mills not look as clunky early, especially early in games.
I totally agree. I think that there's a more forward-thinking, more NFL Now type guy in Pep Hamilton that has the reputation of working with a quarterback to get to his strengths and to capitalize on them and to do the things that he does well. And watching him in practice every day, you'll know what he does well. And you'll know the kind of plays to call and the kind of game plan to have to maximize who your quarterback is and what he does well. And I think that's why I have a total belief in Pep Hamilton that I did not have in Tim Kelly. Because Tim Kelly was Bill O'Brien Jr. And Tim Kelly and Bill O'Brien were as just completely just buttered bread kind of, you know, milk mentality of the way they ran an offense. And it was excruciating at times to watch. I believe Pep Hamilton will be the opposite. I don't think he's going to open it up and sling it around the yard and think that Davis Mills is Patrick Mahomes. But I believe that he knows what that Davis Mills does well, and they're going to be a better offense because of it.
Yeah, see, it's going to be it's going to be a totally different look. Like the whole fact that, you know, that people think that Pep Hamilton's like continuity, it's really only in personality alone. It's the fact that they have like a relationship, but in terms of like the offensive system for the Houston Texans, it's going to have a new look to it, and I think that's a good thing for Davis Mills, where, you know, Patriots offensive systems are usually not easy to learn. They're usually not quarterback friendly. So it'll be interesting to see what he does in the Pep Hamilton offense. But it was interesting too what Golic had to say about the rookie quarterback class, because this is a conversation we always have with the Texans, and it really relates to Davis Mills. And maybe Davis Mills can play to the point where it forces the Texans' hand, and it's like, okay, well, Davis Mills is just playing too good to make sense of drafting a rookie quarterback. It was kind of different, though, than your model, which, not against your model of like, okay, Davis Mills shows you a little bit. You still get a rookie quarterback. Maybe Davis Mills plays for another year as the rookie quarterback gets seasoned, gets, you know, used to the league, and then he's ready to go for his second year. Golic was more along the lines of, hey, if you're getting that dude, he needs to be playing every snap.
Yeah, a little bit different than what I was thinking, but also along the same lines of, it didn't sound like there was anything that was going to preclude him from taking a quarterback in next season's draft, no matter what Davis Mills does. And I'm fine with that, too. You know that I've been a proponent of that simply because of the fact that I think you can never have enough talent, too much talent at the quarterback position. And whichever one you decide to keep and whichever one you decide to play, the other one still has value that can still help you make yourself a better football team. So I'm on board with it. I like the way he was thinking. I like his honesty. I like the fact that he just, you know, calls it like he sees it. If it may be different than what you or I or anybody else that we interview thinks, so what? But in that regard, I totally believe in what he's saying as being the right kind of course of action for this franchise.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what Davis Mills does. Now, you mentioned the point, like, which I mean, quarterbacks is kind of like starting pitching. You can never really have enough. Even if you have a, like, the Cardinals scenario where they had Josh Rosen as a first rounder, they fell in love with Kyler Murray at the top of the draft, so they pick Kyler Murray, they trade Josh Rosen, didn't get great return on the investment, but committed to Kyler Murray. What do you think Mills has to do to play the Texans out of that quarterback conversation, period?
Well, as we've talked about previously, I think he's got to be able to move the football. I think he's got to show leadership in the huddle. I think he's got to have full command of the offense. I think that, again, it's not about wins and losses. It's about what he does on a play-to-play basis. Like, can he audible at the right time? Can he stop staring down receivers? Can he go through his route tree? Does he know when to get out of the pocket and just take a loss of a yard or two as opposed to trying to extend a play and taking a big loss that takes you out of field goal range or out of the ability to put a drive together? Those are the kind of things that you're going to see. Whether they win the game or lose the game, at the end of the day when we review the game, we're going to say, we didn't lose this game because of Davis Mills.
Right.
Davis Mills made some plays. Davis Mills was in full control of the offense. Davis Mills had everybody going out there battling, and he was making the right decisions. If those things are happening, you're going to have a hard decision at the end of the year in terms of how you handle the draft and how you go forward, because I still am a firm believer he's the quarterback for you this year. If he shows those things, he'll be the quarterback for you the following year, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be the long-term quarterback for you as it sits here in Houston, Texas.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see what the Texans, they have a preseason game too, by the way. They got a preseason game coming up on Saturday. That'll be a lot of fun. Speaking of preseason, Golic had some interesting things to talk about with in regards to Deshaun Watson. The Browns have announced that Deshaun Watson's going to start their preseason game, which I believe is tomorrow night. What did you think about that when you saw that?
I thought there's a thing called the commissioner's exempt list that can still be used. And since this is still hanging in the balance, since Goodell has done what he's done, I don't know how you can let this guy go out there. I think it's an absolute just misstep if you let him play quarterback for the Browns in the preseason while you figure out and sort. Because regardless of what happens, the first decision was already made. He should be suspended for 6 games.
Yeah,
that's at the minimum. So he's not going to be playing for you for a good portion of the year. But you think that it's okay to just throw him out there?
It's weird to me because, like, what's the logic for Cleveland to do it? Like, you're almost using, like, even if it's the 6 games, because we know he's going to miss a minimum of 6 games. The NFL is appealing. Golic was of the thought that they're going to tack more games onto it. I am too. What's the purpose of appealing?
As well as I am.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way that you're not tacking at least 2 more games onto that thing unless there's a pretty substantial fine that's being attached to it as well. So, like, are they keeping Jacoby Brissett healthy? Like, are they just making sure that Brissett's not going to get hurt? Like,
well, but that's a double negative, right? You could get Deshaun Watson hurt. You know you're on the books for 230.
But he's got time to get healthy.
But you're on the books for $230 million, and God forbid you want, you know, you throw him out there and he has a significant injury.
You're not really getting him ready for the start of the year. Like, it's weird to me.
Yeah, and I don't think that you want Brissett out there because you know you are relying on him and putting all your chips in on him early on. So I don't think it behooves you to put either guy out there. You might as well see if Josh Rosen's got any kind of ability to play in this league and throw him out there.
They're all going to play. It's not like playing Deshaun Watson means these other guys won't play.
Well, you think Jacoby's playing?
I mean, I would expect. Let me put it this way. Jacoby will not play or not play because of Deshaun Watson. Like, they're not gonna change what they do with him because Watson gets a.
They said Watson's starting. So, right. Assuming that Watson's starting, if they're playing the ones, it's Deshaun Watson rolling with the ones and not Jacoby Brissett, which is mind-blowing to me. If Jacoby Brissett
game
at
one,
minimum,
none of the ones should be playing.
If Jacoby Brissett at minimum is going 6 weeks with the ones, Jacoby Brissett should be getting reps with the ones.
See, if you knew for a fact that Watson was only missing 6 weeks, you'd still go with Brissett with the ones?
See, I don't think I play the ones, period.
I wouldn't play him at all in the first game.
But there's no way that Deshaun Watson should be playing with the ones ahead of Jacoby Brissett.
I disagree with you guys.
Even if it's 6 games minimum.
You have to play the preseason like he's going to come back, because if he doesn't, it's relatively speaking a lost season anyways. You should absolutely be preparing him as if he's going to play.
Sure, but week 7, like, you also need to win games in the first 6. And again, it's probably more than 6, but assuming or based on the information we currently have, like, you got to do whatever you can in those first 6 weeks to keep yourself afloat.
And I don't think either guy in week 1 should be playing. I just think that's when you're trying to figure out and sort out your roster and your twos and threes and who's going to be putting on a uniform for you for the full season. And then start figuring out as you get closer to the regular season, you put Brissett out there with the ones for sure, because he's got to get comfortable with all the guys he's going to be playing with when it counts. And he's got to get some reps. But if you want Deshaun to get snaps, right now, I'm saying just to get him back in football shape again, I'm throwing him out there. But whether it's a mix of ones and twos and other things, I don't think it matters as much, because you're not going to have him for an extended period of time.
All right, we're going to do something new whenever we come back. New little benchmark on the Killer Bees. Bad Tag Boulevard. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.